Real Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Susie, Claire Schwab, and Evan Pearson. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Evening, good morning, good night, good day, good everything. Welcome to Bongversations, episode 50. Can you believe it? 50 yeah. Episodes of Bongversations. On the 11-9 for me, it's the 9th of November, and Dave's on the 8th in Arizona. So yeah, welcome, Dave J, to episode number 50 of Bongversation. What are you going to blow our heads off with today?
I say, so just let's go back thinking about the five just from the beginning when we went to the, remember that first show we did on five, yep. Where we talked about the five senses, you know, the seeing, smelling, tasting, touching, hearing, you know, the idea of a form, or like a, think of it as like a type and a shadow given to the one. So whatever the, back then you're just presented with this idea. So now that first thing is your first interaction with it. You've seen it, smelled it, taste, touch, hear it, all that. That's that first experience. So then now that we're working all the way up to the 50, now we've gone, you know, five compounds of 10 or five compounds of a full cycle or input. So now all of these different, so now at this point, you're able to fully display a presentation, like we're talking about the screen. Last week, on one side of the screen, we're talking about the indium side, which is 49. And now we're building the screen to the 50. We're completing the screen with the 50, which is the 10, T-I-N, the metal 10. Also sounding just like 10 or 10, the input, yeah. Output, 10.
Yep. 10, 10, 10.
It's like, yeah, the Tin Man from the so-called Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz. Is there a there with that, do you think?
Oh,
you
know, of course there is. Oh, yeah, of course there is, because the Tin Woodman is in search of a heart. Now, the idea of a heart is life itself. So
of
he's
course,
searching
yeah.
for life, and then he's found frozen. If you remember the scene where Dorothy, now this goes back to, if you're looking at the first, or the Wizard of Oz film that most people have seen, when Dorothy is first about to encounter the Tin Man, if you remember, she's on the ground and she's searching and she's grabbing at apples, and she has an apple in each hand when she touches the Tin Man. That's a direct tie-in with the obvious the fact that apple equals 50. Yeah. In simple gematria.
Oh, really? There you go.
Right, yeah.
All right. Brilliant.
So then,
brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So then, so she's holding these apples, two apples specifically, and then touching the Tin Man, which is the IO, the one. Do you see how the code? Now then, of course, what does the Tin Man need? But he needs first oil, because he's in there. He's alive. And while he was battling a tree, as the story goes, he was rained on and he rusted up and got frozen. So that's the idea, that's the image of the man or woman today who is frozen by these fallen ideas. They become the Tin Man, or what it's known in the book as the Tin Woodman.
Tin Woodman, yeah.
Yeah, remember the Woodman is the idea of the woed man, W-O, woman. The idea of the Genesis 2, man, woman, the idea of the fallen structure. So the woman, I always consider the woman when you look at it as the woe man or the woed man, meaning that if someone is not a male or if she is not a female, they are of this other quality. They're of this Genesis 2 type of Adam and Eve type creation, a fallen simply not because they're physically, their body is physically bad, but their mind is gone. Their mind
is also. Yeah, does this fit in with last show? We're talking about the black oil or the black...
Absolutely.
You know, okay, bang. Okay, got you.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah, so speaking of last week, so we talked about the indium, and we talked about... So you have indium tin oxide. So that's your screen. That's your LCD screen. So we're now... So the center... And I was talking with Linda earlier, and she mentioned when I spoke about we were going to do 50, she mentioned the crossroads. Now that's very interesting because the crossroads very much comes into tie with the 50 because it deals with if you remember we talked about this in one of the shows the Robert Johnson character.
Yeah, and that fantastic movie which I recommended you watch the Crossroads movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they also have the Crossroads. Well, the Crossroads Blues is the song that all of it's tied around.
Right, and the blues, which fit in with last week's show.
Yeah, blues, the Crossroad Blues. So then, like Linda was saying, that's then the choice point. So then as the screen manifests the idea, and we're fully now at the 4950. So this is now where you're going into the 4D idea, the 3D, 4D, the 7. So now, as this is becoming a real, let's just say an idea or a truth or a yoke that you're going to decide to carry, it's going to be projected as a movie's projected on the LCD screen or LED screen, any of them. And then that then becomes your life.
Right.
So then, yeah. So we're dealing with, so we have the indium already on the 49 side. Now we're dealing with the 10 on the 50 side. Now, 10, just so you get to kind of know, there's an important idea that happens with 10. And particularly, it deals with the idea of a trope, okay? A trope. Now, you've heard that word in usage of figures of speech, for example, you know, rhetorical figures of speech. You'll have, like, the world is a stage, is a trope.
Yeah.
Like her smiles was like sunshine is like a simile. Then you have like hyperboil, which is, oh, hold on.
You're listening to Bonga Session number 50. Back in a minute.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
About something real quick while we had that pause. Oh, so I was talking about tropes, and then I was wanting to kind of cover one that's really used with that you'll hear mostly is just hyperboil. I've told you a million times, everybody does it, or even those that when they are speaking about themselves, they will instead use the word we. That's hyperboil, meaning that they're including more than who they should, because if they're speaking, they're speaking for themselves or for, let's say, yeah, if they're in a car of people, we are going to the XYZ. However, it's a form of hyperbole or a rhetorical trope would be.
Hyperbole.
Hyperbole, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hyperbole, yeah.
Yeah, but you also have like literary tropes. for example, the hero's journey. Mm-hmm. The idea, you know, when you have like a protagonist goes on the adventure and the challenge.
Every single movie that you've been to see.
yep. You have the chosen one, like Neo.
Star Wars.
Yeah, right, Star Wars, Luke Skywalker. Yep. I saw you posted a deleted scene.
Yeah.
I was watching that and I was thinking, corny. Yeah, I was thinking the reason I would get rid of it, I'd cut it, is that floppy hat. He's running around like, he's prancing around with that floppy hat on. I'm like, nah, cut.
Yeah, because they did, and they cut They cut the whole thing. So yeah, four of those actors are nobodies now.
Yeah, there's a reason some of this stuff gets cut. It's like you don't have to, there's a reason there's a cutting room floor. Yeah.
So absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And you also have a couple other kind of tropes too. You have like the evil twin trope and like the bumbling sidekick type character, you know, those type of, so those are really all your different movies. It's like, okay, pick a category. It breaks down to just a few. Here you go. Boom, boom, boom. Now then let's talk about 10 because we're talking about real, real stuff here. So now we're on the other side of the screen. We've talked about 49. We've talked about the idea of what's inside, the liquid crystal, which can be manifest from the cholesterol of a man or a woman, all right, or a male or a female, that idea. And then now we're looking at the 10, which is the opposite side of the screen. So then there's a process, which you'll love this, that at 322 degrees exactly, Fahrenheit, that there's, and that would, what it would be at, that in your language, that'd be like 161, like 161.1 to be exact.
Yeah,
there's where the 10 will go from what's called gray 10 to white 10. It goes from alpha 10 to beta 10, and that's important because that's the same. That's the same character development as somebody like Gandalf, who goes from the gray to the white. Now, this is very specific, Rick, because this happens at 322 degrees.
Are you serious? That's fantastic.
Yes.
There's big time.
Yeah, because that's that, and for anyone paying
skull and bones,
you know, take a drink. Not only skull and bones, but also 223 in the reverse. Which is the what they always claim that for the rifles, the 223 is the ammunition that the AR-15 uses.
Fires.
The long.
There's nothing that I cannot find in the metaphysics of life in ammunition and gun. Every one of them, every gun's always got something special about their numbers.
If I can find it, I'm going to add it. I did a reloading video at one point, and I'm going to add it in the background of this. This I did a how to reload ammunition. I'll show that. It's pretty good. But back to the 322. I guess what 3 + 2 + 2. That's your 7.
Yeah.
That's the whole skull. That's the whole skull and bones idea. The skull and the bones and the 322. It's just another version of the 7. It's just another version of the G. It's just another version of the 3 or the triangle or the pyramid. It's all the same thing. It just keeps showing you the same thing. But what it's showing you is not just a drawing. It's showing you an actual effect in so-called real life where you can take metal and transform it. Now, this is called... this is called an allotrope. When you take an allotrope is when you take for example, 10, and its nature changes, but it's still 10. And that happens at 322 degrees Fahrenheit, which is 161 Celsius. Now, what and then it becomes, it moves from being called it's called gray 10, and it becomes at 322, it becomes white 10.
Wow.
That's your, yeah.
That's so this is alchemy and the Asher, of course. Okay.
Oh yeah, this is the real deal stuff. This is one that you can put a thermocouple on there, and you can raise the temperature. And remember, we talked about when we talked about gas before, when we were talking about how do you separate helium or neon or nitrogen, argon, oxygen, all of that, krypton. You have. Let's say, for example, krypton. We talked about that last week. If you wanted to separate krypton from the air, you have to then reduce it to a temperature of, or I should say, boil it to a temperature of 153.4 exactly, because at that point, the what separates is krypton gas. That's how you separate it. Like xenon, it would be 108.1. So at these different think of it as gradients. If at these different gradients, you can separate creation. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So now, speaking of now, how and why does this even matter? Because we're going to be talking about like creating quantum dots, to create quantum dots for insertion into the body. Now, quantum dots are simply light emitters, which so just think about, let's say, a mark. And to me, I would say if you're going to be looking for anything that was put into people during the injection, look for quantum dots.
Now, yeah, I've seen some stuff about that.
Yeah, because you're dealing with something so tiny. And what they do, Rick, is they emit light, or that's really what they're meant to do. Now, if you can emit a certain light, you can then track and trace simply by the light that or the false aura, which is being admitted by or emitted by the different people walking around. So those that got it there, they'll be given, or they'll project a false aura.
Wow, far out. Yeah.
Yeah, man. And that's going to be detectable just when you walk into the, just like you have the temp. Now, this is like, everything's kind of like a variation of a theme. You know, it's like, okay, this movie's pretty close to that movie. Let's just change it a bit. So then in this movie, you have the people, let's say me and you are walking off the plane and they have the temperature scanners and we're walking by and we're glowing. You simply change it in the next film that they're looking for an aura, a certain color aura. And we already got done talking about the different. So if you're looking for, let's say that you were looking for quantum dots that were emitting the aura of the Krypton, like we talked about. So you'd be looking for that pale violet aura around the subject. If they didn't have that, you would know that they didn't have it in them. Okay.
Yeah. That's well, far out. You can see because we're talking about a broached it a little bit last night, Curlian photography and aura, last week on the show we were talking about. There's obviously a big there with this quantum stuff that's, yeah, and yeah.
Oh, yeah, we'll get more into that in just a little bit. We'll get into some, because I don't want to give too much, because I want to kind of talk about sizes in a little bit, but it's a lot all at once. So kind of let's jump back to something like simple about like the Crossroads idea. So now how does Crossroads tie into 50? Well, it's simple because Crossroads in simple gematria equals 131, which is, of course, reduced to 5, which, of course, 50 reduces to 5 because you drop the 0. So now Crossroads, that's how you connect the idea of the Crossroads, the 10, the 5, and each time it compounds. Do you see? So there's nothing that isn't logical. Everything here is just a logical precept upon precept. This is exactly how you build semiconductor heads. Because, you know, Rick, if you're building a semiconductor head or any type of semiconductor device, you build it day after day, literally day after day, through deposition process. So what happens is there's a QA point, or quality assurance point, to where you check for what's called overlay. And what overlay means is that the layer you put on today is directly or very close to directly overlaid from the pattern yesterday. Because what will happen is if it starts to get off and the overlay becomes out of spec, it can collapse just on a micro scale, just like you would have buildings collapse in this so-called world, you can also have submicron level collapse.
Well,
yeah. So then if you look at the so then what else equals 131, the idea of crossroad? Well, the big one, John F. Kennedy, that's a big crossroads. That's a huge crossroads.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. And another one around the same time, the eagle has landed. When those fakers said that, the eagle has landed also equals 131.
Well,
yeah, and that was
6 yeah. years after the Kennedy thing. Exactly 6 yeah. years, or, yeah. you know, within this was 6 years.
So that's the present. So then the one present, led into the next present. And what's a present but a cube or a box? And what's the Jack in the box? The Jack is the John. Yeah, the Jack's the John, man. And what's the John but what you go to the can with? Oh, man, it's funny, man, when you think about all this stuff.
Oh, my God. It's just, if you can put it together, just baffling, yeah.
Yeah. And you know what else equals 131? The Garden of Eden. That's important. We talked about that because we're talking about the blue. We're talking about the blue people. We're talking about the Genesis 2 crowd or those that have been confused and fell into the world and have become witnesses for this world. And this world is a death worship. That's what everything's about. That's what all the news and everything's about, bringing people into a state of mourning, whether it be half flags, half staff flags, whatever they can do, ribbons, pennants, you know, newspaper covers, all of that.
It's for sure, absolutely.
And also to let you know, and symbolically on those ribbons that they make people wear, and they make them wear them only because the people don't have enough sense to not do it. But what they do is they put it on, and you'll notice that the ribbon, it's a half-finished infinity loop. It's like a Mobius strip that has the bottom taken off.
Mm.
And what's interesting about that is it becomes an echo. What happens, Rick, is because there's no way for that energy to go around, so it just basically touches, goes up, around, down, touches, up and around, down, repeats back and forth, back and forth. Then if you look at the care concern ribbon, which is all the different colors, and if you can imagine in your mind right now and break the 9 off, you're going to see that the 9 and the 1 separate. You can see it. You can see it's the idea of the metonic cycle or your tonic. It's like that's the tonic you've decided entertains you to the point of motivates you. Because all of this stuff entertains people. Yep. If they follow death and mayhem, it's not because they're going to do anything about it. They follow because they like it. They like the way it makes them feel. They like to live that death is there, in fact, life. Because life, in fact, requires test and observation, and that requires time spent with yourself
and work.
That's where most that's where most people run away, because they look at that self-reflection and they don't like what they see, or they sense some sort of judgment, which is all coming from yourself. Like if you feel any sort of judgment, that's coming from you, meaning that you're just telling yourself, hey, you should stop this, or you should do that, or you should get up and do that. That's coming from you. That you're really giving yourself that best advice. You know, so you should. But what most will do then is run from their own best advice and run back into the noise, run back into the clutter, back into the crossroad. And you know what happened to the kitty at the crossroad? So then if you... Oh, and we were talking about the different symbology, because I like to also kind of tie it into the different scripting of the world. Like if you take the idea of, let's say the apple or the consumption, it's what are you consuming? Are you consuming this or consuming that? Remember in the episode, not only 44, but also 4, we talked about the idea of to be or not to be. You know, this for or that for, this door or that door. It's like after you've broken down all the different side quests and different rabbit holes, you're left with two doors. That's it. And that's the choice. And so it's either life or death. That's your choice. So then you choose to live life or death. So like the idea of Proverbs 18:21, for example, death and life are in the, are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it, and that's what they're consuming, they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Right. That's the idea of that you shall know them by their fruit. And then those that eat that fruit, they spread that fruit. So they become like the Eve character. Oh, Eve.
Is this why Apple computers, you know, uses that logo of the bitten apple and calls himself Apple and stuff? Yeah. And that's fantastic Star Trek episode from the original series, The Apple, is about that computer that takes over the entire planet.
Yeah.
And that everyone worships.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. We did a show on that, didn't we?
We didn't do it on it, but we brought it up. Yeah.
Oh yeah, we brought it up on that. Yeah, yeah.
Brought it up. Yeah.
Oh, this is another thing. I was just thinking about this. A couple of other things equal before, because we have this idea of 50. So we have a couple of other things because we're looking at the like this screen, and this screen now is the presentation that's given to the male and the female, and then offers them the choice to become man and woman. They can either be this one or that one. So that's the screen, or that's the world offered. So then within 50, you also have what else equals 50? You would have, well, guess what? One of the big stories that still is around because of the Ashkenazi idea is the Nazi. Nazi equals 50.
Really?
Yeah, Nazi equals 50. Lion equals 50. That's why both those ideas are meant not only with governmental type of kind of like this jackboot idea, you know, kind of boot on the throat, but it also deals with the finance side. Or the lion.
Did you say lion or lion?
Lion.
Lion, of course. Now, that's an incredibly powerful symbol, isn't it? You know, it's absolutely everywhere in mythology.
Even if you... Oh, go ahead, Rick.
Oh, you will be devoured like... Satan roams the earth waiting to devour you like a lion, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Et cetera.
And also think of it in the mental state, lie on, simply meaning that the lie has been turned on.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it says it. If it sounds like it, it says it.
Yeah. And then also, this is going to be interesting because you've seen this in movie, is corn. C-O-R-N, corn.
Everywhere in Stephen King books.
Oh, yeah. So then, and of course, the biggest one would be the Children of the Corn series, which that went 11 movies.
Really?
Now, it went 11 movies. The latest one was
just come out this year, last year.
2023, Children of the Corn reboot came out. Now, they had a remake back in 2009 or 2009, but then you like a remake and a reboot's the same thing. And then they had so a remake would have been the remake of the first one in 1984, and that would have been with Linda Hamilton and what's his
Terminator.
Name?
Terminator Linda. Yep, Terminator Linda.
Yeah, Terminator Linda.
You're listening to Bongversations number 50. Good stuff already.
New back world.
No matter what you say.
You're listening to Conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
The Bongversation. We're talking about the lion and the corn, Children of the Corn. There's even clowns in the cornfield or something or other just came out.
Yeah, that's kind of like the new thing, isn't it? I saw that.
It's cross between it and Children of the Corn, really.
Yeah, and you notice that even within Children of the Corn, a lot of the word usage is going to be biblical. You know, so for example, like the second one was the final sacrifice. there's a mystery science.
Have you seen any of these? Good on you.
I've seen. There's this other movie that's really it's if these are B level, this would be C level. There's one called The Final Sacrifice. It has nothing to do with Children of the Corn. It's a Canadian made film, but it has to do with the guy. Rouse Tower and this kid who this gang is chasing him. It's called The Final Sacrifice. I might put the the video in our video as a background, of just so people see it. If they ever want to see a real bad Canadian film that deals with the idea of sacrifice and really it almost deals with the same kind of thing as Children of the Corn, but it's completely different, like a side storyline. But they also use one of the films, I want to say it's towards in like early 2000s. It was called Revelation. And then you had what else? You had
fairly biblical titles of these films as well, isn't it? Sacrifice and
And then Genesis was another one.
Genesis,
Revelation, and Isaac's Return.
Okay, well you got it there. There's obviously a there with this whole franchise.
So that all moves through, and then you have. And then, remember we were talking earlier about the tin, which is kind of the subject of tonight, and kind of how it's used, depending on if it's gray or white, and then you also have the characters in the movies, like Gandalf the Grey, we talked about him, but to go further into it, if you remember. He was like the wanderer in The Hobbit and in the Fellowship of the Ring. He was more kind of like this old geek, kind of just wandering around, you know, giving hobbits rides and being a guide almost, like a tour guide.
Yeah.
And then when he came back after the, what was that? They had a battle there in Moria.
And he comes back white.
Yeah, he comes back white. And they think, and they mistake him for Sauron. Saruman, that some of them mistaken for Saruman, which because he reappears in the Two Towers, if you remember.
Yes.
So then, fairly heavy
in the archetypes with the titles of the movies too, because the Two Towers, of course, we know what that represents, and it came out just afterwards, or was it, or the same, you know, it was 2001, 2002, whatever.
Speaking of 2001 and 2002. Well, 2001 specifically, is that ties in directly with You Know What, and that's the idea of Jupiter, because that's the fifth planet, and then that ties right in with 2001, where the monoliths come out of it.
Yeah,
like an overblown boil. Remember, they all came boiling out.
Yeah.
So what else? They also And also near monolith in the 2001, that's where that speaking like we talked about last week when you told me, reminded me about the Stargate in that show Stargate, the Stargate sequence where Dave Bowman kind of goes into his, you know, kind of acid trip surreal journey.
Oh, the very last scenes
that happens right there at that place. And then that was pretty interesting. And the sequel, I thought the 2010 sequel was pretty good as well. The one with
not bad. And it had, of course, Roy Scheider from Jaws.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I kind of enjoyed that one actually. So, dealing with the idea of Jupiter, if you listen to or if you read any Sherlock Holmes stories or stories written back then in the late 1800s, you'll find out they used to say by Jove a lot.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
By Jove.
Yep.
And speaking of, I have a bit of a beef with history. You want to hear my Sherlock Holmes beef with history?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, well, there's some books with that are said to have been written by, you know, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
All right.
Now, there's a distinct difference between the first three, which would have been The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes, The Memoirs, and The Return. And then the fourth book, which was supposed to have come out, and here's the big difference. The last book came out in 1905, Return of Sherlock Holmes. The last bow comes out in 1917. And to me, it starts with the adventure, or it's got a couple different adventures, but the adventures have a different tone to them. Completely different tone.
Do you think it could be another author writing it?
Right. So I would say that whoever wrote by whatever name wrote the first three, they're very similar in cadence.
Yeah.
They're very good. They're all pretty good. Well, they lose the plot in the last one. But the first three, and those are the first big adventures that most people know.
Baskervilles.
Yeah, like the Scandal in Bohemia, the Red-Headed League, the Man with the Twisted Lip. The Man with the Twisted Lip is like the first one where you have this rich guy who goes to the city, gets kind of dressed up as a bum, goes out to the corner, and being that he's smart and he can rouse people and kind of, you know, talk fast and be smart, he makes a lot of tips. And so this is an early story of like the hoax poor man. Because what happened is he would take his money he made every day, go back, get dressed, and go back to his real nice house.
Yeah.
What happened was is his old lady was in town one day, and she's like, wait, who isn't that old what's-his-nuts? And he ducks back into the building, and, you know, then everything blows up after that. He winds up, you know, making one bad decision after the next. You know, so
I have think I've read it, but this is a long time ago.
Yeah, let's just say that his whole gig was up. Let's just say that. So yeah. He had to go get a real job. And then it also, the Case Book of Sherlock Holmes, which came out, I would say right around close to 1930, sometime right around there. That's complete. That's just something else entirely. It has ridiculous stuff.
You can tell if an author's written. Yeah. There's a lot of language that goes into a novel, and it's like someone saying that, oh, so and so wrote that song, and you think there's nothing like, he's never done that before. It's completely different, and you can tell it someone else didn't write that song. But the same with this book. It's very interesting, actually. It's a good conspiracy theory, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm a big. I've read all of them back to front. Yeah. So,
you'd know.
There's
you'd
not
notice.
Many I don't like. Yeah.
You would know.
Like the Adventure of the Sussex. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, sorry, but you would know if you've read them all like that. You would notice if the last book doesn't have the signatures of Arthur Conan Doyle or whoever it was that wrote those books.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's just the cadence. Even like on Discord or even on YouTube, if you know somebody, you know if they wrote a note or not.
Yeah.
If you can tell if they did it or not.
Yeah.
You're very, very sure of it. And so, but it had like the adventure of the, what was the one that kind of just turned me off? Is the Sussex Vampire, things like that. I was like, eh. It started going south on me. I was glad that was the last one. Yeah. So then, what was I going to say about the 50? We talked. Oh, you know what else equals 50? Donald. What's interesting about
There you go.
You know what's interesting about Donald?
Apple, yeah, Donald.
Yeah, Apple. Right. Apple, Donald. You know what's interesting about Donald, which is not the same for all the rest. Donald, because not everything's the same. There's, if you look at the Hebrew so-called gematria, and then the simple gematria, well, Donald's 50 in simple gematria, but if you look at it in the so-called Hebrew, it's 119.
Well,
guess what? Code 119, or 911 backwards.
And it's the date today, by coincidence.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's also the Donald, the idea of the New York. He was heavily involved with the hoax, the controlled demolition of 9/11.
Oh yeah,
he was heavily involved with that.
He was a witness. He said, "I saw what he said.
Yeah,
the plane going into the South Tower or whatever. Yeah, while he was having his shave.
Oh yeah, and you can put this directly because guess what else is 50? The word biblical. That's why people say, oh, that's biblical.
Biblical, because yeah.
They're putting like a stamp of proof. So then this Donald character telling you that he saw these buildings being, that's now biblical. That's now in the history books. And the history is the Bible of the state. That's their agreed upon history. That's what
story.
They're going with.
His
story, yeah. So then, and with the U.S., of course, you have the 50 states. So the U.S. is a 50 state.
50, of course. Yep.
Yeah, as a 50 completion. And then, like entertainment wise, I was just thinking, it just jumped in my head because I was thinking about Trump and Empire. And now I was thinking, isn't 50 Cent has a show called Empire. He's like the executive producer of a show series called Empire.
Yeah, that's right. 50 Cent.
Now, I wanted to say this too. Like, if we go back to the 10 and to the idea of the allotrope, the changing character from the gray to the white at the 322 degrees Fahrenheit, you also have then an 8-letter anagram, if you notice in there, because allotrope is what? O-T-R-O-P-E. So then within that 9-letter, you have an 8-letter pre-allot. Now, pre-allot is to pre-allot something, to put something in. Because if you're going to direct someone, you're going to pre-allot them to a certain direction, meaning that I want this person to wind up here. So you're pre-sorting. So if you watch this show or that show or this show, that group of people is going to be pre-sorted or pre-allotted into this area by giving them certain directions. You know, and you'll notice that a lot through children's shows. And while they might be different characters, the under-routine or the sub-routine, the demon, the sub-routine, is something entirely different. So you might watch 3 or 4 different cartoons, but the sub-routine is trying to emasculate men or boys, or trying to have them act a certain way. Even though the main top level characters are all different, but the substructure of the stories is the same.
Interesting.
Yeah. So then, what else is 50? I was thinking if there's any other. Well, after is 50. After is now the after, because we've gone through the screen. We've gone through the screen in the last two shows. We went from the front to the back. Now after is 50. Meaning that now we've gone through. Now, after, what happens at after 50? 51 happens after 50. 51 is present because it's 6. Do you see how you just became present again?
Yeah.
So you went through the screen, you became present. So you left on one side, you went through the screen, and you became present. Just like you did in the movies, you know, when the Stargate, when you walked through it. That's the same mental process that just happened. When you look at everything that happens, when you look at everything that's involved with these two numbers, because I'm just telling you all these different little kind of tidbits. But if you wanted to then explore down, you'll see how they all connect, especially with the idea of the Proverbs, with the how death and life is in the power of the tongue. So then. It separates the physical idea, and it directly addresses the spiritual idea that death and that life is visited to individuals, your loved ones, your neighbors, XYZ, by your tongue, by what comes out of your mouth. That's how that fruit is offered. It's like, are you going to offer a bowl of rotten fruit? Or, you know, it's all, I was thinking also Proverbs 18:21, which is what I just said, which is, let me think. Okay, so Proverbs 18:21 is death and life are in the power of the tongue. And it says, and that they love it. That's the part I like about this. And that they love it. That they love it shall eat the fruit thereof, because they love it. So they're not being forced to do this. They're doing it because that's what they like to do. And then if you crunch those numbers into 9:3, let's say, and then you go to Luke, I'm your father, because we talked about Star Wars earlier. If you go to Luke 9:3, that's where you're being told, and he said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, just go. Trust in God. If you do, then this happens. But if you become the idea of Lot's wife and continue to look back, continue to eat your own vomit, if you continue to be the dog that returns to your own vomit. Do you notice, isn't it interesting that the phrase is the dog returns to its own vomit? The dog is, remember, the reverse of God.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, so the dog returned to its own vomit. So then that is the man that, well, that is the man and the woman, the Genesis 2 creature that has fallen upon their own understanding or their own mind and then is convinced daily to fall on their own sword daily. They literally commit Hare Kerry spiritually daily. As soon as they get up, they fall on their sword.
As soon as I say good morning.
You just drive it straight through and then you're just a shish kebab for the rest of the day. So we went through some good stuff. I was just wanting to see what else kind of jumps in my head now, because we talked about a few films, because I know people like to watch films and stuff.
We're talking about the crossroads earlier. I mean, the whole symbology of that Robert Johnson story became even bigger when, like, Led Zeppelin came out and used the, you know, and just have a look at the logo on their album covers of their record label. It is the falling man, you know, the wing outstretched. The whole myth of the whole rock and roll and Robert Johnson, incredibly powerful archetype. I mean, if that's what it is, but still in power right now, you know.
Do you know who the producer? I was the producer of the. If you go to the Crossroads Blue, now think about Crossroads, Rick. I'm glad you brought that back up, because remember I told you it's 131, which is five, which is why it's relevant, but also. Guess what also is 131? Because it, not only John F. Kennedy, Garden of Eden, the Angel of Death.
Apple. Oh, no, not Apple. Sorry, that's 50.
Yeah, that's 50. The Eagle Has Landed. But then guess what this other one is? This other one, I'm just thinking, Psychopath.
Really?
Because you have to be a psychopath to believe that stuff. Quite literally. You have to. Because, and also Don Law. Was the producer of Crossroads Blue, Don Law, like Don Donald, we just talked about.
Like
Blue. And do you know that the cover of the little record, the 78 record label, is Blue?
Yeah. And the fact they call it the Blues.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, because I remember when we looked at that during the last show that came up, and I remember all that.
Mm.
Because Robert and I said, "Man, so you see how it all ties in," and he also there was the Cream also did a Crossroads on their 68 Wheels of Fire album, right?
Yep, I did. Now, Wheels of Fire.
What's interesting about the Wheels of Fire idea is that directly ties in with the tarot card of the Wheel of Fortune. All right.
Interesting.
So then, yeah. So.
Hang on, you're listening to episode number 50, Bongversations. Be back.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going truthmeets.com and clicking on the donate link. Click on the donate link.
Back to Bongversation with Dave J, episode number 50. Dave, and we're talking about the Crossroads.
Because that's the X, right?
The X, yeah. Which is a massive logo, a massive logo.
Well, yeah, and that's also, yeah, so you have the Wheel of Fortune, which is the X card in your major arcana. Absolutely. Yeah. And then, and here's another thing, that the five card. So if you're going to put the five card down with that, you're going to put down to kind of go a 5-1 if you're going to times it. You can go different ways, but then you'd be laying down the Pope or the Hierophant, the High Priest, and the Wheel of Fortune. So you are then the Pope because you've become your own God. You then are a marriage by union, and that's the five card. That's the V. like the V for Vendetta. You become the masked man. You become the nickel. Well, because remember, I was just thinking of this. The Woodman, remember when she's on the ground and she has the apples and she touches the Tin Man, or is the Tin Woodman, which is the interesting thing, is that the Scarecrow says, he says, what a nickel. What a nickel. Nickel's 28. It's so-called atomic number is 28, which is your tin.
All right, gotcha.
Yeah.
What's nickel? Isn't nickel made from tin and something else, or is it?
So then, but here's the thing about tin or about nickel is the idea is that it's 28, but 2 8s, 8 plus 8 is 16, 7.
Seven.
you see that? But nickel is also 5, of course, in cents in the U.S. at least. When you have a nickel, that's 5 cents.
That's the dollar.
Is the 5 cents. So now nickel, if you have nickel, it's like a transition metal. So nickel, I think you're thinking about steel, but nickel is its own kind of, a nickel now is made up of 50% copper and 50%.
I've got my base metals mixed up again.
So nickel.
So tin is featured in the Bible with Joseph Arimathea and the tin mines, who was Jesus' uncle, apparently. So tin features quite heavily through.
Well, Mm-hmm. Well, the Tin Man, remember, you're dealing with its uses in the actual what's in front of you. So let's say once you become white tin and it's stable, or it becomes the shape of it becomes what's called tetragonal. So it's
tetragonal.
So it's also made for like tin plating, for alloys, for tin cans.
Yep.
Okay, tin cans. It's the same. That's the same tin. You also then have in gray tin, or let's say the gray tin is used in semiconductor type applications. The reason being is because it's a diamond qubit shape at that point. Yep. It breaks into diamond qubit, so it easily layers, and it becomes non-metallic at that point, and thus it and that's the difference between gray and white too, is gray is non-metallic in the diamond qubit type formation, and then once it becomes white tin or beta tin, it's a different shape entirely, and thus it magnetizes. So that's a big difference too. That's
very
That's very important in semiconductor work and just facts in general. Just because you have something in your hand, if you then heat it or cool it, it will still be the same name, but its nature has changed. Just like ice, water, and steam. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so then you... And then there's a couple different, like there's a couple different processes for tin, which are not quite out yet. Like you have gamma tin and then sigma tin, which are even at higher temps than what's called beta tin, and then those will be allowed while they're not used now, that process is going to be used for miniaturization, of course, because to make these, like I say, all these little micro dots, you can put them anywhere. You can put them anywhere, man, literally anywhere. You can put them in drink and food and on clothes, anywhere.
Spray it everywhere. Over your heads in the stratosphere.
So if you're going to tag people, though, you want it on consumer product. You want it on consumption product. If you want to know what a crowd, okay, here's an example. If you're trying to test a product, and you have a controlled crowd narrative, let's say at a carnival, something like that, and you have your input device is a new drink or a new funnel cake, whatever. You eat that, the dots go in, you're able to look at the absorption rate of the crowd, how many people took your product.
Well,
just by there's nobody involved with doing that. The camera can see all that. What's called a flock camera. The flock camera can see all of the different aura changes of people. So they'll be able to tell you who's taken their XYZ. This goes back to that one film with that one guy where they knew if you didn't take your medicine.
Yes, that's George Lucas's very first film. It adds up to 11, whatever it's called. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it was starred Robert Duvall as the protagonist. Duvall. Robert Duvall. Great movie.
Yes. So then that is the very similar idea that we're talking about. Exactly.
It feeds so much in what's happened over the last 5 years with what you know what and the medical mismanagement of the human race. And they're talking about they've been talking about this for a long time that they'll be able to make sure that they can tell if you're vaccinated or not. By some kind of technology, which sounds like this quantum stuff you're talking about.
Oh yeah. Oh, go ahead, please.
No, I'm trying to think of that movie that Robert Duvall starred. It was
George THX something or other?
THX 311.
1138.
Yeah, there you go. And what there's your 11 straight away.
You have your eight, which is your details. You have your three, which is your ring, and you have your 11, which is your competing ideas. So then you can look at 8, 19, 11, 12, 13. 13 always equals your crown or corona or your mind, which is what this whole movie's about. And then it reduces into 4, which is the idea of the door, the Dalet, and the choice, Dalet, which is all these movies, they make a choice. And there's nothing different about this one. The characters in this movie make a choice.
Yeah.
They make a few choices, but the big one at the end. So then that's that door that's that 1138 idea.
Okay. Fantastic.
And you'll notice that numbers are used in a lot of things, like 5150 for Van Halen's. That's the so-called 72-hour hold that you can be put on for
psychiatric nuts. Psychiatric care.
Yeah, at least in LA. So it's called a 5150 hold. 5150, 5, 6, 7. You're on a mental hold for your mind, Zion.
Interesting.
5150 equals 7.
Yeah.
See that? Very interesting, man.
And the Matrix, they're always going on about Zion in that film.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Of course. Well, the Zion is the mind. Well, even with all the... In Kabbalah, the mind is the Zion. In the secrets of all ages, the mind's the Zion. In Blavatsky, the mind's the Zion. In Crowley, the mind's the Zion. This is a common connection across the board. There's no one who doesn't. So it's like that's like one thing you can say. So if you want to know something tonight, put that in your "I know this is true" file. Boom. All right. That's like the one thing you don't have to refigure out each day. If they use the 13, it represents the mind or the Zion. The 13 is going to be represented. Now you'll notice it in so-called religious art. You'll notice it in book form, in occult form. You'll notice it in so-called grimoires. If you do decide to go look into any of this, those listening, if you look into it, you'll start to see these numbers and you'll start to see 13 specifically. Every time you see 13, that's what it's talking about. So you know now, if you start at the 13, that's the representation of your mind or your Zion, and then look around the 13 in the image or the drawing, and that's the rest of it.
Yeah.
Now you know how to decode anything. Everything can be decoded by simply looking at the numbers.
Yeah.
Because they're either going to... Go ahead.
Sorry, it also, to me, like when I look at the zygote, there's a Z and the N, which is the same shape, just on its side, you know, and you've got your 10 in between it. So you've got your,
right.
It's the same, the very powerful. I think it's more of a sigil or a, the word is more of a symbol rather, Zion.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then remember before, it's always as if, it's always, just like we were talking about overlay before, all words... If you want to go to the next level of looking at them, stack them on top of each other and look at the line drawing that's made.
Yeah,
because that's going to be a sigil too.
Yeah,
and that's why cursive writings, and that's why cursive writing. If you don't know how to do it, you can look it up. But cursive writing is nothing more than sigil writing. It's spell writing. It's spell crafting because it's the idea of creating a word without lifting your finger off of a page.
So yeah.
I can create an entire word without lifting my finger off the page or the connection to the device, because a page or a form is nothing more than a primitive version of the screen.
Of course,
just like an Etch-a-Sketch, which is...
Yeah.
Is really a middle ground between the TV and the written word. The Etch-a-Sketch is the middle ground, to where you can write and draw and then erase it. Etch-a-Sketches are awesome, man.
Yeah, it's even, I got years ago, when I first started getting, you know, totally open-minded, I was picking up some hand towel and I looked at the Kleenex logo, one of the most powerful... biggest logos of a brand, and I thought, I wonder what it looks like backwards. And so I ripped the cover off and then held it up to the light. And you ever look at the word Kleenex, the way it's spelt on the brand name, it is 100% it's a part sigil, it's a symbol, and there's so many different logos backwards. It's got satin logos, it's got the X's. Have it, check out the backwards Kleenex logo that you've got in your face for many years.
Well, you
stuff.
Got the K. Yeah, you got the K just right in the front, which is going to be your 11. So,
well, it looks like basically Kabbalah type spellcraft to me when you hold it upside down, the way it runs and look at it downwards, not across. If you ever see a packet of Kleenex, then you can, just well worth looking into these weird, not weird, deliberate things that you've got had in your psyche for many years.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of going back to I wanted to recall something that I speak going back to Nickel. And remember, so if the scarecrow tells the woodman what a nickel, when he was kind of asking, you know, how he was feeling, and that goes into 28. Remember what our episode 28 was, Young and the Reckless, dealing directly. Yes. Directly with this same like choice of the id, which we talked about last week, but the id being offered the choice of it of itself, meaning that this, do you want to take the, are you going to walk through the portal, are you going to walk into the present, because we're dealing with okay, so then if you have the five senses, so then you have one that you're, so you have five senses, but now we're dealing with this one that kind of, it's in your mind, and it's like that thought, and it's your presence. You're thinking to yourself, I've looked at all these different inputs, these five, up to five different inputs, and now the sixth is going to be the one, or myself, my physical body going physically into spending time with this. So like the one, you can fall in love with an aspect of any sense, and then become a slave to the one's own desire. So you can become a slave to the what you like to see, to what you like to smell, taste, touch, hear, that type of idea. And so that's the direct, and I want to say, I was going to say, so you want to so then that becomes the desire. Once you have a desire, you're not going to be stopped. Once somebody desires something, really the only they can stop themselves from that. Otherwise, yeah, it's it.
Yep. You are your own hero.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, it goes right to kind of back to that journey, the journey idea. Yeah, man. So what did you think about that? Would you have any remembrances of the idea of the Woodman? He also carries the axe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So the axe, you can, if you're talking about the hood parlance, I ask you, axe. That's the question.
Yeah.
Someone asking a question. I axe.
A lot of people say that too. They actually go axed. I axed the question.
Yeah. So then the axe. So then you can then see that outside of kind of just like the story of the book or whatnot is just the axe or the seeking, because that's what the person's doing, or that's what the Tin Man's doing, is seeking the heart, right?
Yeah.
And also you have the I noticed Rolo was playing some America songs. And you also have the Tin Man song.
Yeah, I was thinking about that when I saw that song. I thought that kind of fits in with what we were talking about last week. We're heading into this direction.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, no, America had so many interesting songs.
What's that part where they say, "But Oz never did give nothing to the Tin Man."
To the Tin Man, yeah.
But Oz, like some people will say eyes, like eyes, but Oz, eyes. The Oz is the eyes. But Oz never did nothing give nothing to the Tin Man. So then you can see that's directly tied in with this. And they also talk about the Tropic of Sir Galahad, which is really just Masonic kind of work.
Yeah.
If people didn't know that, they're obviously Masonic, but that's... Horse would know him as a big Masonic.
Oh, they both. So the two guys from the main guys from were military brats growing up, and they went to a very English. They grew up in England, one of the military schools there.
Yeah.
They seem to know an awful lot of stuff, and that whole purple stuff. You know, that one of their songs about the. They brought in purple and the purple. I think they mentioned Purple Rain. In one of their early songs, I seem to recall. Great stuff, though. Good music, but very esoteric. If you like looking into their lyrics, were extremely esoteric.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Especially like You Can Do Magic, and they're catchy tunes. So when you hypnotize, what do they say? When you hypnotize with your eyes, a heart of stone can turn to clay.
Yep. Yeah, and they were one of the big bands on, when FM frequency modulation carrier of FM came out back in the 70s. You know, you'd had an awful lot of America songs being pumped into your radio as you were driving.
So then, if you think about the beginning, just even talking about...
You're listening, episode number 50, back in a minute. Cheers. See you.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Back, Bongosation 50. Yeah. Dave, keep talking, man.
Yeah, so he goes on to say at the beginning of You Can Do Magic, if you go back and you think, it says, I never believed in things that I couldn't see. I said, if I can't feel it, then how can it be? So you're looking at the idea of like the senses coming into play. No magic could happen to me, and then I saw you. So then so you have feel, you have saw, the third word was believed. So that's then this place that we're talking about, that six are present. It's like once something then is believed on, that's where that action or reflex. Reflect. Duran Duran. Did you see Duran Duran live at the in London. I would say it's their last concert.
It's still going. Interesting stuff they did back in the day.
Yeah, it's like with certain bands, like it's like certain at certain times. I like them when they're at certain times, you know, certain ages. And they did, but that show they put on in London was really good from the start to the finish because it had the original guitar player.
I was actually thinking the other day by coincidence about one of their songs they did in their very first album that I thought was quite good because I wasn't a big fan of it. They were a bit, mm-hmm. you know, it was a bit too
poppy.
A bit too poppy for someone that was into the music I was into, but so very catchy stuff, and some of their later stuff's fantastic. I've got to hand it to them. They've put out some good music. They became a lot more melodic and less makeup and played some good stuff. Yeah, and the, you know, remember the name Duran Duran came from Barbarella.
Yeah,
and he was a kind of an angel, which is a movie worth looking at too if you haven't seen Barbarella with Jane Fonda.
Oh yeah,
and a few other interesting people.
Yeah, because their album that would have been the you were talking about the 1981 album, the Duran Duran 1981.
Yeah, their very first one. Yeah, 1981. Yeah, and they had a song about the world or some not bad stuff though. I have to say.
What was the name of that tune? Yeah, it was
world something about the world or Earth. This is Planet Earth. Yeah.
It would have been song. Yeah. And then, so that would have had the other big ones people would have known. They have a song on that album called Tel Aviv, by the way. You know that?
I have to go through and check them out again because I didn't mind.
B-side.
Yeah, well, I was just coming out and going to parties and things like that when that album came out. And they were absolutely huge back in 1981, 82, 83. Huge band. Massive influence on people. There was a new romantic cultural, you know, the get everyone to dress up and get earning money, and you know, it was a part of a whole
Human League, and well, they were kind of at the same. They were coming on
same
the heels
time.
Of David Bowie.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
And
yeah.
And Human League and Japan.
The new right? Some terrific stuff back then.
Yeah, so their studio then was Utopia Studios in London. Redbus. Utopia, there you go. There's some interesting stuff on the B side if you still have it. Flip it over and look on the B side of that.
Yeah, I'll check it out. Look,
especially the Tel Aviv one. You'll kind of know who their masters are.
Yeah, I bet you I do.
Yeah, so that's quite interesting on that. So and coming towards the end of the show. It's also
You've done it again though, Dave. Some really interesting stuff today. Keep going. Sorry.
Oh yeah, no sweat, man. So I was thinking the word blessed is makarios in Greek, and that's used, you guessed it, 50 times in the Greek New Testament.
Really?
Blessed. Yes. It sure is.
Be blessed.
Be blessed. So that's how I thought that would be a good ending.
So I
it's fantastic. Makarios. And do you know Makarios or blessed? No, I just noticed that the IOS is, if you spell it, you would be Makarios. So IOS, the operating system.
There is nothing in computers. Yeah. Like we're talking about guns before and calibers. Look, everything about computers is just, it's got everything in it, isn't it? The iOS system.
Sure does.
And the logos for all of those things, and you Google this, and your Masonic aprons here and there, and it's like, come on. I mean, if you can't see the stuff, there's no hope. There is hope.
They only have so much, their boss, man, the spiritual identity of this place, of this realm, only has so much creativity.
Yeah, very little by the look of it.
Yeah, and that's why you'll find that there's yet another Jesse James movie coming out.
Well, can you believe it?
If the first 25, 30, whatever
didn't put you off,
we're not enough. You have yet another one coming out.
You know they're both very high level Freemasons, Jesse and his brother, the James gang. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and so you can't get rid of, you know, it's these different storytellers, they're going to tell you, like I say, the same story, just with slightly different details. And that's why the devil's in the details.
And the details.
The D-liar, you know, like the idea of the offbeat. So if you just listen to something, and if something sounds off to you in your ear, it sounds off to you spiritually, not so much in your like physical ear, but in your spiritual ear, if it sounds off to you, if it sounds too good to be true,
it is too good to be true.
Yeah. So just back away, because you don't have to involve yourself with everything, and you don't have to answer to anyone. That's all you have to know.
Yep.
But you do have to answer to your creator. So yep. Then just keep, so then to me, it's like, I tell people just keep your mind in a condition that you are ready to have it observed by your creator at any moment.
Good bit of advice, Dave. A very good bit of advice. A good, that's a good takeaway for the show.
Yeah, man.
Good takeaway for you. So next week's number 51, and I can just imagine what that's going to be about. You got the six there.
Well, you notice how we're going to start. You just start collapsing in on different things. So you have the idea of 50, right? Then you have the idea of 51, which reduces to your six or present. So we're going from the senses. So we already went. We're all the way through the cycle again. So we're leaving. We're at the senses now. We're going to go into the present, and then we're going to go into the 52, which is, of course, you guessed
the number seven.
And remember 52? That was the same number that Ray Lewis wore for American football. You wouldn't know part of the story, but it ties in with another story that I did. It was called the Chris Dorner hoax. What happened was in the United States, they kept showing this Ray Lewis character for a few days before that, and he was wearing, and they always showed him in the jersey 52. And then he looked very similar to then this character that came out. And of course the football team that they were showing did very well. And then, it's a cross referencing of familiar. It's the idea of a familiar, not only a familiar in the idea of spirits or like ghosts, but a familiar is a familiar idea or a comfortable idea. So if you've been seeing something for a few days, you'll be more readily acceptable of something that looks similar.
Fantastic.
And this has been going on for a long time. I did that video in 2013, the Chris Dorner hoax.
12 years ago.
Yeah, and I told people about the 52. I told people about the, and that made the International Business Times. You can actually still, if you go to the International Business Times, you can still read the article. And it talks about, this was before they kind of said, wait a minute, this guy, he might be he might know something, so shut him down, you know.
So, I bet they did too.
Because they were trying to make fun of me at first, but then it's like by the time you read it, like I came out looking, smelling like a rose.
Fantastic.
You know, and what's such a strange thing about this, because there is no strange things, but there is. It's strange in the way it's strange, is that they did a back or a second news article, and this would be the International Business Times. They called me on Skype, and they said, let's do a follow-up, and it was called The New Age of Conspiracy Theorists.
Fantastic.
And they did the first part of it, and guess who they called to be the second voice of the conspiracy, like theorist, you know, archetype or whatever? They called my boy, Jimmy Fetzer.
Really?
Yeah. So he's, if I can find that, it's on the Wayback Machine. It's been scrubbed, but I'll find it. It's on the
Wayback Machine. And well, interesting, and, I listened to a Crow show the other day, and he was shouting you out about something. And he said, no one's heard, Dave J's been censored offline. And I thought, so send a message. So, no, he hasn't. He's just done 50 shows on truthmeats.com, or YouTube and truthmeats.com.
Speaking of YouTube, we should explain that we're now on the new channel, only because YouTube. Now, I should say this. I was always pretty much like restricted on that last channel. I could upload, but I could never see any. I didn't get any notifications. Let's just say I didn't have a lot of access, and so they basically it says channel removed now when I go to look at it, but the channel's still there online.
Oh, it's still there, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So it's gonna. So like they did the last time, they removed my access from it, but they didn't actually remove the content, which is cool. Oh.
Good, yeah. But the mysterious number, you've got 1.19K.
Just 1.19. Like we talked about earlier.
Yep, 1.19 listeners. That must be the sign that go, get rid of it.
And then that's why I did that Larry Silverstein. I'll put that Larry Silverstein clip at the end of this video where it says, Dave's got, that idiot Dave J's got to the magic number. Pull it.
Fantastic. All right. We'll wind it up, Dave. I'll speak to you in the green room. And we might go out, actually, with the Duran Durans, because you're living on planet Earth and it's the realm of evil, really. So we'll go with the song Duran Duran and I'll send it off to Joel to put it on, tag it on the end of the show. So thanks, everyone. Be blessed, as Dave always says.
Be blessed. And Dave, cheers.
We'll be back next week.
Bye-bye.
Fabulous. I'll see you out in the green room, Dave.